It's time again for the most important audio blog on the internet, The Answer of the Week, where each week, my boyfriend Joe Patrick and I answer the question of the week. Wrote. So it's kind of fixed, but it's still fun. This week's question: what was your favorite interpretation of a comic book character outside of comics, movie / video game, cartoon, etc.? Joe Patrick,
whatever.
You go first.
All right. My all-time favorite interpretation of a comic book character not found in a comic book is, without a doubt, Superman. Christopher Reeve's Superman from Superman the movie.
I feel like it's a 1978. Really, really easy answer.
Well, aren't they all easy? That's why
I like
it's your
it.
Favorite.
I like it. I like it. I mean, and I'm right there. Like, when I think of Superman, I still picture Christopher Reeves.
Yeah. I mean, that's what favorite means. It's easy to think of. I mean, I could think of something obscure, but I just really love that. I mean, that movie is not only on my list of best comic book movies, it's like in my top five favorite movies ever.
It's way up there for me too. And I really do love it. And that performance, man, you still can't beat it. It still totally holds up. It really does.
And it's everything about what makes Superman great, even though
the Richard Donner cut kind of sucks.
I haven't seen it. I haven't even bothered to watch it.
It kind of sucks.
Well, that's Superman 2 anyway, but,
oh, you're right. That was Superman 2.
But it's just such a great example of what Superman is and should and could be, even though the character has changed and evolved over time, sometimes for the good, sometimes for the ill. I think you can look at that movie and say, this is why I love Superman. And yeah, it's holds up to me still today. Close second, I absolutely love, again, very easy, Batman the Animated Series.
Oh yeah.
Best interpretation of Batman ever outside of comics. Even better than the Christopher Nolan Batman movies. In terms of an interpretation of the world of Batman.
Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely. My knee-jerk reaction was to say Christian Bale's Batman, but I have to admit the voice did wear on me a little bit.
Here's the thing I
even
feel
though my voice
about
sounds
the Christian
like that
Bale Batman.
Right now, I can be, swear to me! Where is he?
The Christopher Nolan Batman movies, I adore. I feel, though, that you could make those movies about any character and change the names around and it wouldn't necessarily be Batman. They would still be good movies. There's nothing inherently Batman about them.
I mean, I guess I'll give you that.
You've got Alfred, you've got a guy with gadgets,
yeah,
and dead parents.
That doesn't cheapen the movies at all. I mean,
but at the end of the day, it's a guy, it's just a normal guy that trained himself and became a vigilante. That's a million movies ever.
No, that's true.
You know, but the animated, I mean, I don't want to discount your pick, but
it's not my pick.
Oh, well, okay.
That was my knee-jerk reaction.
Sure. Well, then continue. I'll let you continue.
My pick is Hugo Weaving from V for Vendetta as the character.
Ooh.
V. He was so good. I mean, spouting some of the most ridiculous Alan Moore dialogue that you can possibly think of when he first shows up and meets Natalie Portman and runs through a string of V words. I did not think they would put that in the movie because it's so ridiculous in the comic, but the way that he does it and carries himself as that character, and you never see his face in the movie. You never see him, but somehow Hugo Weaving brought that character to life and not only made him totally badass, but made him believable, made him completely intense. It was just an amazing performance. It really is. And it's an amazing film. I love that movie.
Sure. We mentioned it a little bit on the show, but for me, it also really is hard to top the Tick cartoon show.
Oh yeah.
From the mid 90s that aired on Fox. The length of time cartoons air always seems very hard to pin down because they make 13 or 20 episodes,
right,
and then they just air them ad infinitum,
yeah,
for all time.
For 14 years.
So I feel like the Tick cartoon was on for like 10 years, but really I think it was only on for two or three.
It was like two seasons.
I think it was three seasons.
Was it?
In total,
it,
yeah.
It was just two.
But regardless, I love that show and everything about it, and some episodes are almost word for word adaptations of the comic.
Yeah.
My favorite episode of that show is the one where the Tick, Arthur, Deflator Mouse, and Sewer Urchin go to the superhero nightclub
Oh, yeah.
And Arthur has to go to the Sidekicks Lounge. Now, that is in an actual Tick comic.
Yes.
However, it diverges so wildly. There's something... The Tick's rival in the comic, who's also named the Tick, is completely excised. And instead, they invented probably the greatest cartoon character ever made, the evil midnight bomber, what bombs at midnight. And I have never laughed so hard at a cartoon ever. Or since. I quote it still today, and people know what I'm talking about.
You know what? Somebody else picked, I can't remember who it was, but they answered it. I really like the Wesley Snipes Blade pick.
Yeah, that was...
That
was Sean from Pulis.
I can't think of another superhero movie where they got it so inherent. I mean, outside of, you know, Iron Man, Captain America, The Avengers, which we all agree,
pitch perfect.
But Blade 1 and Blade 2, man, he was such a badass and a jerk and barely had any lines. Like, he was Blade. And I was so upset when Blade 3 just took a crap. I mean...
I think if you look at Blade the movies, I think no other comic book property, and I'm probably exaggerating, but no other comic book movie informed the comic book property as much as Blade informed the Marvel comic Blade.
Not to mention...
Because before those movies, Blade was...
Yeah, but not to mention, nailed it on the first try.
Yeah.
Completely nailed it. Like, we're going to make a Blade movie, boom, there it is. And that is Blade. They got it.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone will do it better. And well, it was Guillermo del Toro did the first one, right?
Guillermo del Toro did the second one.
The second one?
I
can't remember who did the first one.
I don't remember. I think it was like...
The second one was definitely my favorite, though. It was just fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, Ron Perlman's in it.
Oh, man.
And you got a team of vampire ninjas.
Creepy Russian vampires.
Oh,
you know,
like, yeah. The first one's good. It's kind of cheesy. Steven Dorff and the vampire god, whatever. It's fun. It's fun to watch Blade end guys.
Yeah.
But that second one with the like the super vampire, the predator vampire with his unhinged jaw, I love it. I love that movie.
It was great, and it was creepy, and it was gross, and the sword play was amazing, and the martial arts was totally badass. I wanted more Blade. I really did, and they just ruined it with
Blade 3. Fun fact, Blade 2... is the movie I sat down and watched in the theater where I went, oh, Spider-Man is going to be okay. Because at that time...
I totally agree.
At that time, the Spider-Man movie had been announced, but there was nothing about it. Maybe there was a trailer, but it was very... Just glimpses of Spider-Man.
I don't know if there even was a trailer at that point.
I don't remember exactly the timing, but I know it was in development, and we were all like holding our breath, like, please, God, let this not be completely stupid.
Yeah.
And when I saw Blade in Blade 2 flipping around and kung fu fighting Ron Perlman in his ninja gear, I was like, oh, they can do it. They're going to do it. It's going to be great. And now if you look at it now, it doesn't hold up as well because technology has improved by leaps and bounds. But back then, I adore the Blade movies. Blade 3 is bad. Though Ryan Reynolds in Blade 3 is actually pretty fun.
He was
Hannibal King.
Yeah. He was a glowing part of a really bad movie. And it was really hard for me not to say Sam Jones from Flash Gordon too. But I didn't do it just because I used him in the last Seth MacFarlane film. And everyone's going to think I'm just jumping on that bandwagon.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Flash Gordon.
I know who Flash Gordon is.
Quarterback, New York Jets.
Who's Sam Jones?
Sam Jones was Flash Gordon, the blonde guy.
Oh.
He played Flash Gordon.
Sorry. Listen, I wanted to watch cheesy 80s movies for my bachelor party. You wouldn't let me.
I'm sorry. That's not a bachelor party. That's depressing. We can do that anytime. It's your bachelor party. You get the mad boobs in the face. That's how it works.
Yeah, and they were mad, all right.
They were angry.
All right. Well, I think we've tackled this enough, but let's move on.
So much more.
Yes. Let's move on to something Aura, our friend, brought up in the question of the week.
My treatment of Superman Thundercats.
Superman Thundercats crossover. Now, at the time that this idea germinated, DC had the rights to do Thundercats. I believe Wildstorm was putting out Thundercats comics.
Yes.
And we were both working at a comic shop together at the time, an Aura as well. And Matt came up with what is probably the most legendary intercompany crossover
of
all
time. By the way.
And really, all you need to hear about is the end.
And what happened was, it was out. Like, it had come out. It was and
oh, was well, Superman Thundercats was a thing?
Yeah, Superman Thundercats.
It was like a one shot.
It was a one shot. It had come out, and one of our customers just bought everything Superman, and we put it in his pull file, and he pulled it out, and he went, "Do I need to buy this?" And I was like, "The end is pretty amazing," and I hadn't read it, and he was like, "Really?" I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "What happens?" I'm like, "Well, you know, Superman gets transplanted to Thundera, and he's hanging out with the Thundercats and everything, and he's just blown away at how beautiful it is." And so he goes out, you know, for a little walk by himself, because it's a different colored sun, right?
Yeah.
So he can't fly and stuff like that. So he goes, gets a little warm, goes for a swim in like this beautiful little pool, and Lionel comes and he's like, "Superman, what are you doing?" He's like, "I'm just taking a swim." He's like, "Don't swim in there, Superman!" And a Thundaran bug swims up Superman's butt, and it bites him so hard that Superman begs Superman begs Lion-O to cut his head off with the Sword of Omen. And because it's magic, it easily cleaves his head off right there. And the comic ends with Lion-O holding the headless, pantless Superman body in the Superman Supergirl pose made famous.
From Crisis Number 7.
From Crisis Number 7 by George Perez. Screaming into the heavens, "No!" And the guy looked at me and he went, "Really?" Yes. And then he bought it.
Yeah, that story comes up way more often than you'd think, and that was probably 10 years ago.
It was a while ago. Yeah. I'd like to see that Superman Thundercats book. So that is your answer to the question of the week. Join us next week.
Something's about to happen.
It's all right. The music's coming up. Don't freak out.
I'm freaking out.
Don't worry, cave boy. What's happening? All under control. Watch this. I'll do it with my mind.
Love. Oh, damn.
Here we go. Love.